point out that I didn't choose that font, and I chose a sort of more military font, but it chose a sort of futuristic Star Trek font for me. And I'll roll with that. And it's about our future mission and God's global future vision. So we've got a futuristic font. Okay, so there's several reasons I want to talk some more about David. Toby shared about David and Goliath a few weeks ago, and I know many of you were really touched by what he shared, and really got a grasp of how David is a type of Christ, And really, you see God's bigger picture, and in David's whole life, really, it was his life was a prophetic ministry, talking about the things that were to come, and really, in so many ways, David is an image of Jesus, really. So that's one reason why I want to talk about David. The other reason was that we had an email from Mike Betts. Many of you probably read it, and it was Mike Betts' equation. For those of you who don't know, Mike Betts is our Lowestoft church, and he heads up Relational Mission, and he's a wonderful guy, a great apostle. And so he sent an equation, and it was E plus E equals C. And so I will share a little bit more about what that is a little later on. And John put an email together to us as this church family, really, on the back of that, inspiring us to think about why we're here, really, and you know, what's our mission, what's the point of us being here, in view of what the Lord has done for us. So so I was excited to have the opportunity to pray for Pauline this morning, because really our life is about mission, isn't it? And so I'm going to be talking about the Great Commission, and it's the Great Commission is to go to the nations, and so that's what I'm going to be talking about, and it's wonderful that we can be praying for Pauline as our ambassador, really. And also, really, in the light of, we've been sharing a little bit about Dan this morning, and Dan's whole life was about mission and his work with Youth for Christ, going into schools and sharing his faith with young people. And, and for those of us who knew him, it was a privilege to know him and see him living that out. And the third reason, really, is because I'm studying Samuel, and like I said, he's David is my favourite subject, and I've just been really bowled over by King David's his futuristic thinking. Really, it doesn't. King David doesn't really fit in the Old Testament somehow in the way that he approaches his life. As you read through the Old Testament, there are Old Testament, wonderful Old Testament characters, but they are they fit within their time. But somehow, David doesn't really fit in the way that he thinks. And I've had to put that down to the fact that he was mentored by Samuel. And Samuel was a prophet, as we know. And Samuel, as he was growing up, he slept in the Holy of Holies. So he would have slept in the tabernacle next to the Ark of the Covenant, which is absolutely incredible, really, to think that. And we know that he communicated verbally with the Lord very early on in Samuel. In the book of Samuel, Samuel speaks. The Lord speaks directly to Samuel, doesn't he? And so we know that he is talking face to face, really, with Jesus. And so I consider really that the mentoring of Samuel really was the main influence in David's futuristic thinking. Samuel also had a school of prophets, or there was a company of prophets in a place called Naoth in Ramah, and David also spent a fair amount of time there. And so, as we know, a prophet sees things in the future and speaks God's word to people about the future. And so David's time with those prophets would have helped him to understand God's bigger picture of salvation. And as we know, David, Jesus was in the line of David, in the family line of David too. So really, you can just see God's picture unfolding through David's life. David was truly anointed. It says that when David was literally anointed by Samuel, the Spirit came on him in power and was with him from that day forward. And that is different from the other Old Testament men and women who we read about, because John's been sharing about the Holy Spirit rushing on Saul. And if we read the ESV, that's the word that it uses for Saul and for Samson. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit rushes on these men and women and enables them to do supernatural things. But with David, it says the Holy Spirit rushed on him and was with him from that day forward. That's different. And I believe that this is why we see David behaving the way that he did. So, really, David would have understood much about who he is, and through the promise of that God gave to Abraham. And I'll just read that. Can we just skip to the next slide, I think? I've got that written there. Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3, the words that are spoken to Abraham. And they're famous words. Okay, and it's all about blessing nations. Okay, and so it says, I will make you a great nation. This is God speaking to Abraham. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I think this is amazing, really. And if David fully understood that promise, then he would have set out to see the nation of Israel, whom he was their king, to see the peoples of the earth blessed through Israel. And I just think that he was living out the Great Commission. Okay, so I've written the Great Commission here. The Great Commission is to therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We know it so well, don't we? David was a great conqueror. And by the age of 30, he had amassed a great army. He reigned in Hebron for 7 years, which was in the, in the south of what became Israel. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 33 years. Chapter 7 in 2 Samuel reveals God's promise to David. It's an awesome promise and a great commission. And the thing that I really noticed about this is that after God gives this great promise to David, he doesn't go, yeah, let's go and conquer some nations. He goes into God's presence and he kneels before the Lord and he prays. And I think this is something really, really important about our mission, that we don't just charge out, but we just come before the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to us and to guide us. We're doing it in his strength, aren't we? Okay. Just an incredible humility about David. David's army then, it says in 1 Chronicles 12:22, it says that day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army like the army of God. After conquering Jerusalem, his primary aim seemed to be to bring the Ark of Covenant into Jerusalem. And I've spoken before about how David would have been a shepherd boy on the hills around Bethlehem, and the Ark of the Covenant was parked up on a hill, and his passion was really to see the presence of God coming into the centre of their lives. We read in Chronicles about how David sets up a 24/7 worship around the Ark of the Covenant, really wanting to soak the atmosphere in praise. I want to read Psalm 105. It's also written in 1 Chronicles 16. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced, O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, but strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord makes the heavens, made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees and forests will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praised the Lord. I just need you to really sort of get a picture of the mission in David's heart here, really, to see God's presence come into the middle of Jerusalem, and then really the nations coming to that place of worship where God is and surrounded by worship and really just soaking the place in praise. It's interesting, actually, when you read through these chapters in Samuel and Chronicles, even his mighty men were a real international bunch. They had an international outlook, did David. So as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 8, David sets out to conquer the nations around Israel. And it says in the beginning of chapter 8, in the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And it goes on with a list. I'm not going to go through them all because they're all names of kings that he subdued. And his main aim really was to destroy their idols and to show how glorious God is. The nation of Israel. The idols in these countries they were disgusting things. They really were. I did have a little look on Google at some of these gods. The Ammonites worshipped a god called Molech, and his worshippers would throw babies into fire as sacrifice. It was commonplace to sacrifice their firstborn children, to pass through the fire of Molech. Holy prostitution was practiced by the before the gods of fertility. They were awful things, really awful things practiced by these people in the name of these gods. And really, so David just wanted to just purge this these surrounding countries. And he brought the plunder back to Israel and consecrated it and dedicated it to the Lord. And a lot of the silver and the gold that would have been captured on these sorties were used to build the temple that was built by Solomon. So all this is amazing to me, and I can see the picture, and maybe you're sitting there thinking, so what's this got to do with me? This all happened 3,000 years ago. What do I care whether Tau the king of Hamath did 3,000 years ago, or what Hadadezer did, king of Zobah, how he was subdued by the Euphrates? Maybe all these names just seem, what does it mean? It happened 3,000 years ago. But what I really want you to do is grasp the prophetic picture of what David was doing at this time in conquering these nations. And we have this tiny little nation of Israel, and Israel still is today a tiny little nation surrounded by these massive, great armies. And we see it even today. How this tiny little nation holds firm. And I think it's really interesting that this was at the beginning of the Iron Age. And I don't think it's really by chance that the Philistines discovered iron. And I'm sure it was discovered, I don't know exactly, but many of these nations were starting to discover iron. But they discovered that if they left their weapons in the fire a bit longer and heated their iron longer, it became steel. I'm not a chemist, and I don't fully understand how this works. But if you see how David was on the run in his early life and had to spend so much time with the Philistines, this is probably where he picked up his weaponry and where he was taught to arm himself. Really, I just think this is amazing, and I want you to see the global picture here. So, I mean, maybe you feel that we're part of an insignificant small church in the middle of a great big nation. Maybe you feel that we're just a bit insignificant. And when Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, maybe you're filled with fear. Maybe this is something that's too big for you. Maybe you're a bit scared of sharing with your neighbours. Maybe you're a bit scared of sharing with your colleagues what God has done. I think the thing is what we've got to remember is that Jesus said, I will build my church. And so it's really important that what we do is make disciples. I think we need to capture people's hearts and subdue them. I think we need to bring them into the presence of God and drench them. Drench them in worship and God's presence. And this should be our vision. I love the song that the kids sing about the stirring up deep waters. And I know we've had prophecies spoken over this church about waters, and it's why we're called Wellspring, but deep waters coming up. And really, in the light of the words in John chapter 7, where Jesus is on the temple steps talking about the water that will be overflowing from those that are filled with the Spirit, what we're asking for is to people to be drenched in the Holy Spirit that floods out from us. And there's a passage in Revelation 22 that talks about the river of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God. And it says, on each side of the river there are trees and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. What we're inviting people to do is to come and spend time in the Holy Spirit to receive healing. It's not actually a massive thing he's asking us to do, really. I just think this is a lovely glimpse of the healing that's going to come through our church, taking the gospel to the nations, like Pauline. And not just that, but the nations coming to us. We're seeing Dereham becoming increasingly international. And with what's happened with the crisis in Syria, with people moving across and aiming for England, the nations are coming to us, aren't they? Let's try and capture some of God's vision for healing of the nations. It's interesting that after the Great Commission, those words in Matthew 28, verse 20 says, Jesus says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. I just believe that obedience is something really important here. We've been hearing prophetic words about dropping things, putting things down, getting rid of fear. Are we being obedient to what the Lord's asking us to do? So I want to say a little bit about this email from Mike Betts, because it fits in with all this stuff. Okay, so it was E plus E equals C. So E stands for enough. Okay, we've been having corporate prayer events saying enough, Lord. Okay, and we're as an eldership going to organize more opportunities for us to pray corporately, and we're going to dedicate a room upstairs for prayer, and we're going to have a 24/7 prayer week in the summer. And we've received a fantastic letter from the Archbishop, really calling churches to prayer. Let's just feel this call. Let's hear this call to prayer, because I think this is really where mission starts. When David had the promise from God, what did he do? He went and he prayed. He said, who am I, Lord? Why would you choose me? Why would he choose us? Because he loves us and because he has commissioned us in all our frailties and our weaknesses. E plus E. So the next E then is evangelism. Okay, I know that a few of us have been going out on the streets and sharing with folk on the streets. I know Alanette has had some amazing experiences of speaking with folk on the streets. And Pauline was just saying how open people are. When you start talking about Jesus, people just want to pour out their troubles. I find at work amazing opportunities to share because people's lives are difficult. And with everything that's happening on the news, it all just seems to crowd in and people want to know why. Just bring Jesus into those conversations. We're told to speak of the hope that we have with gentleness and respect, seasoned with a bit of salt. It's not complicated. Just share your testimony. Share what the Lord's done for you. And so the E plus E equals C then is church. Okay? It's what we get out of loving one another and serving one another is a church that Jesus is building. And we've had an extension. We need to fill it now. Okay, let's invite people to come in. Let's not be afraid of what they might think. Let's just bring them in. Let's immerse them in worship, in God's presence. The Holy Spirit will do the work. The Holy Spirit is the one that calls. We don't need to do that. We just need to share in the way that we know. I believe if we're obedient, we will see this church grow. And then we can multiply. A few years ago, I was at an RM conference, and there were many prophecies about ships, about launching ships, and this seemed to have a flow about the launch. Really, it was an RM mission conference talking about really launching who we are and what the Lord has got in store for us. And I'd listened to a program on Radio 4 about the Phoenician traders and their ships. And what I have discovered is that the Phoenicians is actually another name for the Canaanites. And we've been reading about David subduing the Canaanites and the Canaanite idols and the all the things that they got into. And they had an awful practice of when they built a ship, they would make the slaves that built the ship lay down in front of the ship. And when they launched the ship, the slaves would get crushed and their blood would be on the hull of the ship. And they believed that it pleased the gods to see the blood on the ship's hull. I was just really struck by the picture that is of Jesus. Really, about the ship being launched and about us going out on a mission. And that it's Jesus' blood on the bow of our ship. That his body was crushed for us. And we've got to have Jesus' blood on the timbers of our ship in order for it to have success. And so I felt that it would be important to respond this morning. We've got a few moments left. Have you got another song lined up?
Yep.
Is that okay? Sorry to spring that on you. I think it's easy for us to be, I'll move off here and then we've got that. I think it's easy for us to be horrified by images like that that I want us to turn our horror into gratitude, really, for what the Lord has done for us. And as we worship, I just think it's really important that we come before the cross in repentance. And I want to really pray that the Holy Spirit will rush upon us and commission us this morning. So would you... Would you be willing to stand, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you died on the cross for us. Lord, I thank you that for all that you laid down before for us. Lord, that cross wasn't made of smooth, sanded timber. It was rough bits of tree. And you collapsed on your way up the hill of Calvary because you couldn't take the weight. And Lord, I thank you that you did this for us. Lord, I thank you that we are healed by your stripes. And Lord, I thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to help us. Our mission. And Lord, I just really want to pray for each one of us here. As we recognize what you have done for us and feel stirred to mission, that you will come with your Holy Spirit and you will rush on us and be with us from this day forward. Not to be a fleeting thing that we're reliant on, not just a feeling and a momentary, exciting thing, Lord, but a commissioning and a stirring and a welling up. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Come on us, rush on us. Move on us like that holy wind. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, la, la. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus.
God, I look to you. I won't be.
service to a close here, but we would love to have the opportunity to pray with you. Maybe you've been touched by something you've heard this morning, or the Lord has spoken to you this morning. The ministry team would be willing to make